as cliche as it sounds, is trusting your intuition, because there's so much information coming at you from left and center. There's so much knowledge out there. There's so many practitioners telling you what to do, and friends and family. And take it all in, because there's some great advice out there. Mm-hmm. But also honor what you want to do, whether it's how you go through your pregnancy, how you deliver, which interventions you do, which foods you make, whatever it is. But yeah, just honor what your inner voice is saying and what your gut is telling you.
Hi, I'm Sarah Kuhn. Welcome to the Juno Women Podcast, where I sit down for candid conversations with women who are experts in their field and share their specific knowledge so that we can become better equipped to handle all things motherhood. Juno Women is an extension of Juna, a fitness and nutrition app created to help guide you through your trying to conceive, pregnancy, and motherhood journey. Everything we do at Juna is designed to empower and support you through one of the most incredible and challenging times of your life. Today, I'm talking to Marnie Wasserman, the host of the Ultimate Baby Podcast and co-host of the Ultimate Health Podcast. Marnie uses her passion and experience to help educate mamas and mamas-to-be on how to thrive during pregnancy. Marnie shares some of her favorite pregnancy foods and her top tip for new moms. I hope you enjoy. Marnie, I'm so excited to have you on the podcast today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me.
So why don't you start by introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about you and who you are a mom to.
All right. So my name is Marnie Wasserman, and I'm a nutritionist, and I've been in the world of health for many years. So I have a background as a holistic nutritionist as well as a natural chef, and I have a history of teaching cooking classes. So health and wellness and food has always been a big part of who I am and what I've done throughout my career. And that definitely has fueled me as a person and, of course, as a mama, and through my podcast, the Ultimate Baby Podcast. And I used to co-host the Ultimate Health Podcast with my husband. Background knowledge was a big piece of that as well. And yeah, as of the last couple of years, I'm a mom to a little beautiful girl named Sorrel, and she's almost 18 months. And I'm also pregnant with my second. So I'm just about 20 weeks pregnant with baby number two coming in December.
So fun. Congratulations.
Thanks.
So how many, what is their age gap going to be?
When baby is born, they will be 22 and a half months apart.
That is exactly what my children are. Like, my oldest is 22 and a half months older than his sister, and then his sister's 22, literally 22 and a half months older than her brother.
Wow. So how did that go for you?
It is amazing. The first 18 months or first year is the hardest, and then you like see the payoff really quickly. Like, when my daughter was 18 months, like, her and her brother were best friends and like off playing together, and we're not quite seeing that payoff yet because my son is only 13 months, but like, we're already, my daughter's better about integrating him into play than my son was with her. So maybe we'll see the payoff a little earlier. She's, I don't know if it's the female versus male or whatever it is, but she's like way more into integrating. Like, she was trying to push him around in her grocery cart yesterday, and I'm like, how about you take your baby?
Oh, that's so cute. How old is she now then? So
she just turned three.
Okay. So sweet. Yes. Yeah. No, I'm so curious. I'm finding out next week what we're having.
Oh,
so
if it's a little boy,
I don't know yet, okay. But we will find out. We didn't find out with the first with her, but we definitely wanted a little girl. So I'm so happy. And then whatever this one is, I'll be so happy. But I have a feeling it's a boy, so it'll be similar dynamic to you.
Different pregnancy?
No, exactly the same, which is so wild. But I'm just feeling boy energy for some reason.
Yeah, it's so we did find out with our first, and then we did not find out with our second. And the whole time I was like, I am 100% having a girl. And when she came out, my husband gets a girl. And we were like, yeah, it was just like, there was literally not a single question in our minds.
Right.
Okay. This whole kind of podcast is going to be around like health and how like different ways like our listeners can integrate and take things that you say and have learned and integrate it into their own pregnancy or postpartum experiences. So if you can give us a little background on your relationship with health, nutrition, fitness, and like where it started and where you're at now.
So I have always been passionate about food and eating from a very young age, and that slowly started to transpire into healthy food, healthy eating. I started to get into personal training and working out and loved the combination of that together. So that inspired me to get into kinesiology, and that's what my undergrad was. So I was really fascinated with the body for a period of time and wanted to pursue that as a career. But throughout that experience, the nutrition kept popping up. And I'm like, I think I like this more. Mm-hmm. So after that, I went to school for dietetics. And after 1 year of that, I realized very quickly how much the conventional system of dietetics wasn't who I was, more about holistic health and natural preventative medicine and nutrition. So I found a holistic school. So I left the dietetic program, jumped into holistic nutrition, and did that for 2 years part-time. And I loved every second of it. It just completely resonated with everything I valued, everything I was doing and reading on my own. And from there, the food went even further. I wanted to get hands-on. So I found a culinary school in New York and did that for 6 months. So I went into becoming a natural gourmet chef at the Natural Gourmet Institute in New York. And that was really eye-opening for me because I got to really be immersed in the kitchen. But what that showed me is how much I love to learn about food and teach about food, but not actually be in the kitchen. I didn't want to go on to work in a restaurant or be a line chef or anything like that. A lot of people who go through their program want to do that and like that tedious work. I was like, that is not for me. I do not want to be the one cooking all the time, but I'd rather be teaching and bring that whole background that I have about health and nutrition into the classroom. So when I came home from that program, I started up my own business of teaching cooking classes. And at the time, I was vegetarian and very into plant-based nutrition. So that's what was the fuel for my cooking classes. And I did that for 10 years in Toronto, where I was living. Yeah, I opened up my own cooking school. I had a studio, a food studio, Midtown Toronto, and it was great. It was super fun, and I had all kinds of people coming through and educating, and I had community workshops. I had other chefs and people coming in, so it was amazing, and I loved it. But things change, and life changes, and you meet people, you feel differently. So I started to have some health challenges that came up, and I started to shift my perspective on nutrition. Whereas I was so immersed in the vegetarian world, I suddenly opened my mind to eating meat and more of a paleo lifestyle. And that was really helpful for me to heal. And at the same time, I was dating my now husband, Jesse, and we decided to start the Ultimate Health Podcast on the side. So that was a nice way for both of us to integrate both of our areas of expertise, him being a chiropractor in the past and me being a nutritionist. We got to start this wellness podcast to have conversations about health. And not only were we able to use our own knowledge, but we learned so much from all the guests that we had on our podcast. And that was over 5 years ago now.
Oh, wow.
Just trying to think, something like that. Yeah, I think it's 5 years, 5 or 6 years. And we did that for a number of years. And then when we were deciding to have a child and then I had Sorrel, my daughter, I stepped away from that. And that's when my passion for mom life and mom wellness and mom nutrition and holistic natural birth and everything under that umbrella became my passion. So that's when I spun off and did my own podcast, the Ultimate Baby Podcast. So it's been a really kind of organic evolution throughout the years, and it's just been so cumulative for me to learn so much and be able to share, but at the same time I've also been learning from other people and through my own research, and it's just been awesome.
Yeah. So when you were, you said 18 months, and so I guess 2.5 years ago, you were eating paleo, assuming. Okay. And what was your like workout schedule? Did you like, how was exercise incorporated in your life before pregnancy?
A big part of it. I've always made exercise a priority, whether it was doing some kind of organized class. I haven't been part of a gym in a very long time. I just love doing my own workout routines at home. So I was doing either something online or just using my own knowledge from being a personal trainer and from my kinesiology training. I just have a good foundation to be able to put myself through my own workouts. So I do that at home, either go for walks, go for bike rides, and just make some form of activity a part of my lifestyle.
Got it. And so when you got pregnant, did you guys like I guess, did pregnancy come easy for you guys? Was it just, okay, we're going to start a family and we started a family? What did that look like, the transition from not being a couple to now being pregnant?
Yeah, it was something that we knew we wanted for sure when we first started dating. And then it was just a matter of the evolution of our relationship and our life taking place. So we were both living in different cities when we first started to date. So our first step in our relationship was to be in the same city. Yep. And then we decided to get married. And then a couple years later, we decided to work on our health. And that's when I was really knee deep and focusing on my health and my hashimoto's. Yeah. So which can be something you definitely want to look at if you are thinking of getting pregnant, because there can be some relation potentially to infertility. But regardless of that, I always knew I wanted to get pregnant, but I just wanted to make sure my health was in a good place. So we were working with the functional medicine team for a number of years. And then we knew, like, in 2019 was when we were like, okay, we're ready. We're in a good spot. Our business is in a good spot. Our life is settled. We're good. So let's start trying. And yeah, we did get pregnant fairly easily. It didn't take very long. So we were very lucky and blessed that we had everything all lined up in terms of both of our health. And my husband takes care of himself, and I do as well. For years, we really, not just our physical body, but also like the health of our home and the products we use, toxicity that we're exposed to. So all that played, I think, a huge part in us being able to get pregnant really easily.
Yeah. Yeah. I've actually interviewed a couple people in the last few months all about the different toxins and how that can affect your fertility. And I feel like it's not talked about enough, how it's not just the food you're putting in your body, but it's the things you put on your skin and the things you put your food in and what you're cleaning your house with. So glad you mentioned that.
Yeah, so it's all part of it.
When you got pregnant, you already have obviously a very solid foundation for health and nutrition. What was that first trimester like for you?
It was really interesting because I learned so much about pregnancy and what it was like to be pregnant from my friends and books. And then here I was in my own experience. And I was very lucky to have a very relatively easy first trimester. I did get some waves of nausea. I did have some food aversions and some food cravings. So there was a little bit of roller coaster there, but it was nothing too strong that it had me down and out, or I was throwing up, or I was in bed all day. So I feel grateful because I've spoken to a lot of women over the years and a lot of friends who are well into their second or third trimester and still nauseous. So yeah, I had it pretty easy. And my diet didn't really change too much other than just avoiding certain foods that I thought I'd be eating, like vegetables and asparagus and mushrooms. I just couldn't even look at them. And even meat turned me off. So here I was, almost mostly a plant-based diet again, but I was eating, you know, healthy foods. But I was really craving things like avocado, eggs, goat cheese, and then like carby things like lentil pasta and cassava tortillas. So at least my cravings were within the realm of healthy things, because I never – and that's something that worried me before I got pregnant, because everyone says, oh, you're going to have these wild cravings and you're just going to have to honor them. So I was like, okay, I doubt I'm going to crave McDonald's. Let's see what happens. And there is not a chance that like my body would go that way. It's, I can find my own healthy alternatives and still have my fix. I can still eat my chips and I could still have my ice cream, even if it was coconut based. So it was nice to be able to honor those cravings with healthier, cleaner foods. And yeah, the first relatively smooth, and just such a huge learning curve, because I was so fascinated with what was happening with my body and what was happening internally, because I didn't really look that pregnant, but I knew so much was happening on the inside.
Right.
So it was pretty awesome.
We're going to take a quick break so I can tell you about the Juna app, the app that makes this podcast possible. Juna is the premier app for every stage of motherhood, with a 12-week trying to conceive plan and workouts, key nutrition information for every week of pregnancy and postpartum, plus 6 full video courses on birth prep, breastfeeding, newborn care, infant sleep, sleep from 4 to 12 months, and starting solids. The app is designed to be your number one companion from trying to conceive through your baby's first year of life. It also includes daily diaphragmatic breathing exercises, pelvic floor prep, daily tips and notes from me that are relevant to the exact things you are experiencing. These are so helpful for easing any fears and preventing the dreaded gestational Google mania, that sickness where you can't stop Googling every little thing that happens during pregnancy. Juna is available for both iOS and Android. Just search Juna in the App Store or go to juna.co. Again, that's juna.co. The app is completely free to try for 7 days, and if you decide it's not right for you, you can cancel anytime within the first week. No questions asked. Download Juna today and get started. Now, back to the show.
Yeah, it's funny. I think one of the questions that we get in our DMs the most is like the feeling of guilt that a lot of people have during their first trimester for either not being able to exercise or not being able to eat the things that they thought that they'd eat. Like most people get pregnant, you find out at 5 or 6 weeks and you're like, oh my God, I can't wait to treat my body in the best way possible. My body's a temple. I'm hosting a baby. And then all of a sudden the nausea hits or like the fatigue hit and you're just like, I want to eat. My husband made fun of me because it was just like all I ate was beige. Like it was like my entire plate. Was beige because I could eat crackers, pretzels, noodles. Like that was like the exception.
Totally.
And I guess what would you say to someone who is going through that experience?
I would say honor it. There's not much you can do when you're just really so turned off. But I would say if you can and if you're open to it and you have – I'm lucky that I have the knowledge and the foundation and a pantry and a kitchen stocked with all these things that when I wanted pasta – I was able to grab chickpea pasta, or if I wanted tortillas, I was able to grab like siete grain-free tortilla chips and still satisfy that. So like I had those ingredients available to me and ate all beige as well too. It's just, it tasted so good.
Yeah.
And, like white goat hard cheddar cheese was like everything. Yeah, do the best you can. But if you can, try and get some nutrient-dense things in like smoothies. And I was taking my prenatal and I was also taking like grass-fed organ meat complex in a capsule form because there's no way I was eating that in whole food form. Well, at least I was getting that into my body and I didn't have to eat it. So I knew that overall at the end of the day, even if I didn't eat as much or eat the same variety that I was eating pre-pregnancy, I knew I was still getting some good quality nutrients into my body.
Yeah.
So yeah, you just got to do the best you can. But if you really feel like you need to go and eat fast food or go and eat that chocolate ice cream, sure, do it. But don't make that like an excuse. Oh, I need to do that every day just because I'm pregnant or just because my body's craving it. Honor it and then see where you can find some alternatives.
Yeah. Yeah. We are big on offering up the alternatives. Not everybody likes to hear those alternatives.
No.
But you know what? We like to – the thing is, I'm with you. If you need to reach for the Ben & Jerry's, occasionally you reach for the Ben & Jerry's. But if you're feeling like you're craving ice cream every day, then you need to find a swap.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just not great. Not a great habit to get into. So what was your – were you able to exercise throughout your pregnancy?
I started – more or less in my second trimester. And I think I did as well with this pregnancy. Just in the first trimester, I just didn't feel like it. Mm-hmm. Not only was I tired, but I also just like the thought of exercising was just like, ugh, I'm just not in the mood. And it was just like, let's just go for a walk. And that was good enough for me. But suddenly in the second trimester, I'm like, okay, I'm ready to – I have some prenatal apps and programs available to me. So I was just able to jump on those. And luckily the workouts are not really much longer than a half an hour. So they're between like 15 minutes and 25 minutes, which is perfect. And I can put myself through that and then still go for a couple of walks a day and then do other things on the floor. If I'm playing with my daughter, I can just do some yoga moves or stretch or, you know, do some leg lifts around her or just picking her up as she's my 22-pound weight anyways. So I can just pick her up and know that I'm getting some workout in there. So I'm not big on going too hard during the pregnancy. I know some women do and they like to really push it. I have no desire to run. Riding a bike I would do. I haven't done it in so long and I miss my bike so much, but I feel like that's a really great form of exercise. And so with swimming, if I had access to a pool, I'd be in the pool every day. But right now walks is my,
primary.
Yeah.
Did you suffer from any hip pain like with in your first pregnancy? I'm sure like but you're not quite there yet right now.
No,
but
did
you see a chiropractor? Did you do any like kind of alternative stuff?
No hip pain during the pregnancy. I started seeing a chiropractor when I found out that baby was breech at around 32 weeks. And I started seeing one to help turn her, which luckily worked. Mm-hmm. And I continued with that into postpartum. But my hips were my weakest link during labor. And oh my gosh, like I did not realize that's where all the pain was going to be. I thought it was going to be in my back. Everyone says your lower back and the front of your body, but it was my hips. I could not even stand unless my doula and Jesse were like pushing on them and giving me counter pressure. So that's when my hips were my weakest. But luckily during pregnancy, no, I was fine. I remember towards the end as well, into my third trimester, my wrists were very weak and very achy. So getting down on all fours or using my hands in any yoga position. And I had heard about this, that you get this carpal tunnel inflammation and pain. And I couldn't believe how weak my wrists were. So that was a big one for me.
Yeah, yeah. So I want to hear a little bit about your birth. Did you deliver in a hospital?
No, I delivered at home. Okay. And that was my goal. And I'm very grateful and lucky that it worked out that way. It almost didn't. There was a moment when Sorel, my daughter, came. Like I got a bit of a hind water leak.
Oh, okay.
6 days after my due date, got a little poke in the back upper part of my uterus. And here I was thinking, like, labor started, yay. Talked to my midwives, and they were like, okay, yeah, things have started, but if they don't progress enough, then we have to admit you to the hospital either tonight or tomorrow. So I was like, okay. So I had to reframe my entire thinking. Everything was set up in my basement. We had the birth tub, everything. My whole mental game was
Sorry, I want to just back up because
you
dropped the home birth on me, and I did not expect to hear that. So I want to – did you – see a midwife the entire pregnancy? That was always part of the plan. You really wanted to have a home birth.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Why?
It just always made sense to me. It was something that when I first, way back when, I actually remember being in university and learning about women's choices around birth and labor. And I like heard that there was the opportunity to have birth at home. And to me, it was like, yes, like, why would I go anywhere else? It just made so much sense to me. Knock on wood, I've never been admitted to a hospital. Oh. Like, I've never had any surgeries. I've never had, except for when I was a little baby, I actually had 2 dislocated hips at birth. So I don't remember this, okay. But I was in a cast. But I've been very lucky to not have had any experience in a hospital. And just with my whole upbringing and training and everything, it's just, I'm so far removed from the conventional system that it didn't line up with my values. So I knew that I would not be comfortable in a hospital setting. To me, comfort was home. And I know that for a lot of women, that's like the opposite. They're like, are you kidding? I'd much rather be surrounded by a medical support team. For me, there was absolutely no fear in being at home.
Got it. Very cool. Nothing about me, but my first 2 babies were born in a hospital, and my third, I did a home birth. And I just, oh my God, it was the best experience of my life, but we don't need to digress. But yeah, okay, awesome. So you deliver, okay, so you're going to deliver at home. You were very happy about having a natural birth. Did you do any preparation for the natural birth?
Yeah, a lot of mental preparation, just doing lots of reading about what the body's capable of doing, breath work. I've so many books I read. I read Ina Mae Gaskin's books. I read Birthing from Within and Mama Natural. So I was really in the headspace of this can happen and I can do this. And women have been doing this for thousands of years.
Yep.
And I know it can be done. And I have supportive and educated women around me who can help with anything. So I had that comfort. So there really was no fear at all, which is surprising. the weeks were creeping up and I was down to 2 weeks before delivery. It's, wow, this baby, this big bulge in my belly has to come out somehow. And it's coming out of this tiny hole. And it was so crazy. When you've seen it 1,000 times in movies, but you don't really know what that's going to look like for you. And I've read 1,000 stories. So definitely a lot of like thoughts about it. But I was just knowing that this could happen. And I was very committed to not needing drugs or wanting drugs beforehand. But of course, you never know, because I've heard, again, many stories of moms on the same page as me. And then they get into the throes of labor and they're like, give me the epidural, give me the drugs.
Yeah.
And I was like, I kept saying to Jesse, I go, if I ask for drugs, that I have like totally hit my absolute limit. I told him that before that. And I just knew going through it, as painful, as uncomfortable, as long, as exhausted as I was, like there was not a point that I ever was like, maybe I should take the drugs. It was like, no, I'm going to get through this. I don't know how. I don't know how, because I can't bear another second, but I'm going to get through this. So it was just this deep mental preparation. So I did a lot of that. And then physically, I drank red raspberry leaf tea. I ate dates. I saw a pelvic floor specialist. So I was doing some own work on myself and massaging the perineal area. What else? I did prenatal yoga. So I did whatever I thought I could do. Could I have done more? I'm sure. But I did a lot of things that I believe hopefully helped, although I didn't have a fast labor.
Yeah. How long was it?
It was, well, from the time that the hindwater leak started to deliver, it was like 2 days. But from the time the hindwater leaked to contractions was 24 hours.
Okay.
And then it was another 24 hours later before I delivered. So it was from first contraction to baby, it was a good 24 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was long. And yeah. Yeah. No, I was just
good for you.
Just grateful to be in the comfort of my home and surrounded by people. But she was in a funky position and I had to keep lying on my side and trying to get her to wiggle down. And even the pushing part was hard. So I don't know. Even though I did all these things, it's not, ooh, she just slid right out and I didn't know nothing wrong happened. It was like, no, it was a lot of work.
This episode is sponsored by Element. Element is a really tasty electrolyte drink mix with everything that you need and nothing you don't. Guys, electrolytes are so important when you're pregnant, and with everything going on in your body, it's so easy for electrolyte deficiencies to occur. It's perfect for those who are nauseous in the first trimester and for those who are losing lots of sodium through sweating in their third trimester. It's also perfect for the nursing mama who's losing electrolytes through her breast milk. Element contains a science-backed electrolyte ratio, 1,000 milligrams of sodium, 200 milligrams of potassium, and 60 milligrams of magnesium. With none of the junk, no sugar, no coloring, no artificial ingredients, no gluten, no fillers, no BS. I'm one of those people who sweats an obscene amount. Element has been getting me through all my postpartum workouts. I absolutely love this stuff and I can't recommend it enough. They have a variety of flavors. Raspberry ice is my favorite, but citrus brings me back to my athletic days of drinking sports drink, except Element has no added junk. I typically make a 32-ounce drink, and then I drink half, and then I fill it up again, and then I do this like 12 more times throughout the day so that I can make that flavor last as long as possible. You can try Element totally risk-free. If you don't like it, share it with a salty friend, and they'll give you your money back, no questions asked. As a member of our community, Element has a very special offer for you. You can get an Element sample pack for only covering the cost of shipping. Get yours here. drinklmnt.com/Juna. Once again, that's www.drinklmnt.com/Juna.
Yeah, which it's interesting because I feel like for me, having – like I – because I had such a wonderful home birth experience, it's easy for me to be like, I wish I had done this with all of my kids. But A, I needed to be – like I had a terrible road to my first pregnancy. I was – like I had two different hospitalizations, a surgery. Like it was just a whole thing. So I was like, I wanted to be in a situation that was like highly medicalized, knowing that if anything went wrong, like I was in the right hands.
Right.
And so mentally that was what I needed to do. And then – but also having – like no idea what a contraction would feel like or how long you'd read your first births like can be 24 to 48 hours. And I cannot imagine having done that all unmedicated. So I'm like, I wish that I could have done things differently, but I'm like, no, like this was the right path for me. My third birth, like, not that it was a slip inside and the baby came right back, right out, but it was like, it was, I was in the birthing tub for 2.5 minutes. So it was very fast.
Wow.
And like, it just, obviously every birth is faster.
So I'm sure what I hear.
Your second one will be better.
Oh my gosh, I hope so.
Okay, so now that you're pregnant with number two, like what are you approaching anything differently? Did you learn anything from pregnancy one?
There's nothing radical that is going to shift in this one so far. Okay. So far in terms of how I'm going through the pregnancy is pretty much the same. My delivery choices are all the same. I want to do it at home. I would like to be in the water for the delivery. Mm-hmm. It didn't end up happening that way. So even though I was at home, I ended up on a bed on my back because it was like the baby's heart rate's going down. We need to get this baby out now.
Got it.
So I was like, get on your back. Let's squeeze her out. So this one, I would hope that I can do it in the water because I would love to experience that. I don't know. I've seen so many videos of delivering in water and just to see the baby come up through water. So that is what I would like to happen differently. But other than that, I've got a pretty similar birth team. I've got one of my same midwives as before, the same doula, and everything will be at home. And the timeline is very similar because they're both winter babies. So that'll be interesting as well too. But yeah, no, there's nothing that I'm like, oh, I wish I did this last time or – and I'm doing it this time. No, there's none of that.
So I skipped over this, but what was your postpartum? What did your postpartum health routine look like? Like, when did you start exercising again? Like, how did you like fuel your body? Did you breastfeed? Like, what was that all like for you?
Yeah, I breastfed. That was, you know, a goal of mine as well. And I'm grateful that it worked out, even though it was very challenging. It was not easy at all. She did latch, but she was hurting me on my left side. And in the first couple of weeks, I was like, oh my gosh, I cannot feed on my left side. What am I going to do? Mm-hmm. And anyways, figured things out over the course of 3 weeks. But it was also very stressful because she was gaining weight very slowly. So the midwives were putting a lot of pressure on me to feed basically every 90 minutes around the clock. So it was really exhausting. We didn't have this nice organic 2-3 week honeymoon phase with our baby. Right. We were like, had to wake up and set our alarm and write it down on paper. It was like, oh my gosh. So that is something 100% that going into this one, I will do differently. If I'm put on any kind of schedule, I will just say, hell no. Mm-hmm. My baby will gain weight in their own time. I'm honoring if we sleep. If the baby's sleeping, she sleeps. Like oh my gosh, I cringe at thinking of how many times we like woke her up and we had to wake up. And then they were like, we only have to do this for a week. And then after a week, they're like, let's go another 5 days. Let's go another 7 days. And it was like, oh my gosh, I hated coming in for weigh-ins. And it was so stressful. So anyways, she did gain weight and she was totally fine. But that was a really tough part of the postpartum period in the early days. But we pushed through. I pushed through and continued breastfeeding. My milk started to come in a little bit more. And I did everything that I could to make that happen. And yeah, working out was not a priority for me at all in the beginning. I took my sweet time. I didn't move. I didn't leave the house for 3 weeks. So I was like rest. I stayed flat for 5, which one of my friends told me, do not move. Do not do anything. Mm-hmm. Like just stay with baby, go to the bathroom, go to sleep, and that's it, and eat. So I really honored that because I was in no rush to get back into shape. And I was very lucky that when baby came out, I was all baby, so there really wasn't much to do, and I wasn't concerned with that. So it was just like, okay, let's just focus on healing because I knew how important that was. And it was – I don't even know how many weeks before I took my first walk, and then I don't know how many months it was before I started actually exercising. I really took my sweet time and just focused on nutrition. Mm-hmm. Big time. I had prepared a lot of food for my freezer and had that available to me. My mom and my husband were at home and available to me for – my husband was here, but my mom was living with us for 3 weeks postpartum, so she was able to prepare meals and have stuff for us. And that was so easy and so nourishing and helpful to recovering. And I'm going to do that all over again and make sure I prepare lots of food all over again. So yeah, I really took my time with everything.
I think that one of the things that a lot of people don't think about is how hard it is to find time to eat.
Yeah.
Because like, it's constant. And I think we had a lot of freezer meals. Like I had prepared a whole bunch of like different types of soups and stews that I could just freeze and eat with. And because like those are pretty easy. Soups are pretty easy with one hand.
Yeah. It's like yeah, exactly.
Not a big sandwich. But yeah, I think that's one of the things I always tell my friends is organize a meal train or just ask people to prepare food because it's just so hard to nourish yourself.
Yes. Yes. And once you have the stuff and the food available to you and you can make it really easy that all it needs is to go into a pot or into the oven and or be delivered to your door, it mm-hmm. makes life so much easier because those first, 3-4 weeks, you just want to be fed all day and you're so hungry and you're definitely not going into the kitchen to prepare anything.
No.
So if you don't have someone like a mom in the house, you want to make sure that either your husband or partner or whoever can help with that and just have water by your side and just be eating. And I did eat a lot, but I feel like I actually could have eaten more because mm-hmm. I was just – I don't know. I was just so wrapped up in this schedule that I was just like, ugh. Like I was just so stressed that this time I'm just going to go wild on more fat and just eat even more because I feel like with the breastfeeding – again, this is not talked about. Everyone thinks, oh, during pregnancy you got to eat so much. It's like, no, during breastfeeding you got to eat so much. Like I'm not that hungry during pregnancy. I don't feel like I double or – you know, triple my meals. It's, I'm just eating my normal diet. There's really no difference in how much I'm eating. If anything, it's a little bit less, especially as I get bigger. I just don't have the same appetite or room in my stomach. But when you're breastfeeding, it's, oh my gosh.
I know. It's so funny because it's like in the first trimester, you're supposed to eat no additional calories. In the second and third, it's like 300 additional calories, which is two scoops of peanut butter, right? Like it's really, right. Which is, that makes sense because like I literally have no room left in my stomach. And yeah. That was like, I remember getting into the third trimester being like, I can't fit anything in here. Like that I'm done. But the year of breastfeeding, I've never been so ravenous. Like I'm just so hungry. And I'm actually like looking forward to being done with breastfeeding so that I'm not feeling that constant hunger all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as this is totally unrelated to health, but I will share. So like when I was having my second child, when I was pregnant with my second child, one of my biggest fears was how am I going to make space for another baby? I love my first child so much. Like I can't possibly love anything else as much as this. That was my biggest fear. Do you have any fears going into bringing your second baby into the world?
100%. And it's very timely you say this because I just wrote a post the other day on Instagram saying exactly that, saying, how am I going to love another baby as much as this? Are we having this baby too soon? Like, I didn't give Sorel enough time. I just blurted out all the thoughts that were going through my head. And will she adapt? Will she be mad at me? Will I have the same bond with her? She's my everything. She's my little like princess.
Yep.
And I can't even, of course, I'm so excited about this baby and can't wait to meet him or her. But it is a bit of a mind F to like get my head around loving two babies and or not spending as much time with her, because obviously in the beginning I won't be able to. And just, yeah, it makes me sad when I think about her little face not being the only face that I'm looking at.
But yeah, I know
it really is. I got so many mamas responding saying your heart grows and it's so such a gift to give your first kid a sibling. And obviously I do know in my heart it's going to be beautiful. It's gonna
of course,
work out.
But
it is very hard. There's so much guilt because so much guilt. She's my little girl and she's still at that age where she doesn't quite know at all what's going on. I point to my belly, which is just now starting to really grow, and say baby in there. Like, but how is she supposed to understand that? I can't even wrap my head around the fact there's a baby growing inside me. So how is she supposed to understand the miracle of life?
Yep.
So obviously we're going to read books, and as she like 5 more months to go. So she's going to develop so much because every day she's like a new human. So between now and then, she's going to probably be able to process and talk a lot more. And she will, I bet you, right before delivery, understand what's going on. But yeah, it's an interesting time, and having two under two, it's been also a bit of a mental game. It's, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But you're speaking again to tons of mamas who are in the same boat. And I think the long-term benefit is going to outweigh the short-term chaos, because I think that having them so close in age and being good friends and being able to play together, I think it's just so special. Like she's such a social being, and she has been since day one. We've socialized her since day one. We didn't let anything that's happening in the world stop how we wanted to raise her. And I'm so glad we did that, because she is such a happy, well-dispositioned baby. And I see others that it makes me sad when I see other kids that are around the same age. And I'm like, oh, she's been home for the last year and a half and hasn't really been to a grocery store. I'm like, oh, she is just so happy. And she's been out and about, and now she's at daycare and she's thriving. She just loves human contact and connection and faces. And so I think she's, other than not getting mama's attention, 24/7. I think she's going to like love having a little baby around. I definitely there's some fears around that.
The one thing I will say is that what I didn't expect was my son, who will be the exact same age that Sorel will be when she has her sibling. He didn't like within, I want to say 2 weeks, didn't remember by himself. It was just like this was his new life. And I think like when they're so little, that adaptation just happens so fast.
It's probably harder when there is a bigger gap. I wonder if, like, once they're 3 years and older, like maybe because they've had so long with mommy and daddy, that it becomes a little bit tougher. I don't know.
I know nothing else. But
so like, you have your boy's your oldest.
My boy's my oldest. My girl is my middle. And then I have another little boy.
Okay. Yeah. I was just trying to get, because I think in the beginning I thought thought you only had two. And then when you said a third, I was just trying to process this, the age gap. So the first two are 22 and a half months apart. And then your daughter and your son are 18 months apart.
No, 22 months. They're 22 and a half months as well.
Oh, so both of them? Like all the way through?
Oh, yeah, all the way through 22 and a half. No, sorry. My oldest is 22 and a half months older than his sister. And then his sister is 22 and a half months older than her little brother.
But yeah, so the same gap up between all of them.
I didn't want to make it seem like I only had the 22 and a half between the oldest and the youngest.
Yeah.
No, that would be crazy. I don't know.
No, that's possible. That is, so that's encouraging.
Yes, it's insane, but I think – in my future life, I will be very happy that they're all really close in age.
Yeah. So then by the time your second son came, your eldest son was like, okay, I got this. I've already taken care of a little sister. Like, I'm ready for this little boy.
He's just very flexible. My daughter is not as flexible. It wasn't like she had a really hard time with like a little brother coming in. She was just like, I am not acknowledging that I'm not getting as much mommy time.
Right.
Like, my son was just like happy to go with my husband. And my husband he was like, all right, I'm on Luca. And Luca's my domain for the first, when I was in that early postpartum period, I just got so much newborn time with Kyla. And that was so nice. And I was really looking forward to that this time, or like with Levi. But my daughter was like, no, I'm not going with daddy. I'm still staying with mommy. So I'm going to sit on your lap while you're nursing him. And then I'm going to, like, it was just, she refused to acknowledge that she wasn't going to get as much mommy time.
I feel like Sorrel's going to be the same way. She's not easygoing. She's spirited and she's animated and she's feisty. And So I pray that this little next one is my easygoing one.
My daughter was the easiest baby in the world. So like our transition to two was so much easier than the transition to three. And it's not just because we were outnumbered. It was because of the dynamics of personalities. Yeah. It's just it's so fun and it's so crazy and it's just so light. Like it's just a fun experience.
No, it's
so good luck. Wild.
Thank you.
Last question is, do you have any, so for all the moms listening, do you have any health tips or advice for people that are navigating their own pregnancy and postpartum experiences?
I would say the biggest take home that was big for me and something I talk about all the time on my podcast is, as cliche as it sounds, is trusting your intuition, because there's so much information coming at you from left and center. There's so much knowledge out there. There's so many practitioners telling you what to do and friends and family. And take it all in, because there's some great advice out there, but also honor what you want to do, whether it's how you go through your pregnancy, how you deliver, which interventions you do, which foods you make, whatever it is. But yeah, just honor what your inner voice is saying and what your gut is telling you, because when you start doing things out of fear or out of pressure or out of, I should do this, or my doctor said I need to do this, but you're like, I don't really know what that is, I'm just gonna do it, then you're just so out of alignment. So do your research, understand why you're making the choices you're making, and let your gut guide you.
Yeah, I love that. I literally just said to one of my friends the other day, I was just like, now that I've had three babies, like my perspective is that there is no best for – there's no – like there's not just like one way to do things. Every baby is different. Every mom is different. And every mom knows what's best for each of her babies. And so you just got to – you got to go with your gut, go with your intuition, and know that not every decision is going to be the right one. But that's when you just got to evolve and learn from each situation.
Exactly. It's all about being informed. And I think that's the biggest thing. So if you're choosing to have a hospital birth, or you're choosing to not breastfeed or to breastfeed, you're doing it because you really like – are empowered by it, and that feels right inside. So there's no wrong or right. There's just doing what's right for you, but not because someone told you to or what you think you should be doing.
Exactly. Thank you so much, Marnie. This was such a fun conversation.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, that's all for today. If you liked today's episode, please share it with a mama friend and leave us a review. If you're pregnant, postpartum, or trying to conceive, you can download the Juna app completely free for 7 days. The app is available for iOS and Android and is designed to be your guide for all things health and fitness for this very special time of your life. If you have any suggestions for episodes you would like to hear, or anyone you think would be a great guest on the show, please email me directly at sarah@juna.co. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next week.